It's the interview the sports world has waited for. Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant reunited on the big podcast with Shaq.
To me, the most important thing was really just keep your mouth shut, right? You don't need to go to the press with stuff. We keep it internal and we have our arguments and our disagreements.
I read an article where you said you're going to kill him. I said, I did say that, but I didn't mean it.
Do you remember that day, Kobe?
Yeah, of course I remember that day. And I was like, all right, well, come on then. He keeps telling people, listen, it wasn't like that, it wasn't like that. And my response is, I don't care what they say.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who many listeners feel is right on the money or needs to get a grip. I am Rob Sestino. Hello, everybody, and welcome, Alex. It has been what a polarizing last few hours in the Big Brother world it has been.
Yeah, how's it going, Rob? It has been very much a whirlwind, and fans, myself included, I think I could add you to that company probably pretty safely. It's been really tumultuous and very interesting. So here we go.
All right, here we go. So we're going to talk about everything that has gone on in the house over the last 12 hours or so, or whatever the hell that they do these competitions in the house. We're all a little punchy today after all this. And Alex was very patient to be waiting around for me to just finish principal recording on the Evolution of Strategy, my 30-season Survivor rewatch, which I've been working on for 14 months. So I might be a little punchy too, even maybe more so than last night. But we'll talk about the live feeds later on in the show. And we will play our spoilers. So this is going to be all spoiler free, because first, the first thing on the agenda today is to talk about what we heard back from Meg and James in our interviews that come to us via our friends at CBS.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited for this. I'm looking forward to getting some perspective. And we're at a point now where we've got enough people in the jury. We can start to really kind of think about where these votes are going to go here.
And of course, these questions came to us via our live feed correspondents, Alex, Taryn, and Brent, who worked on these questions all week. And so here was the first question you guys wanted to know from Meg. What were your expectations for Big Brother coming in? How much did the game differ from those expectations? She said, "I'm not going to lie, I didn't have any expectations. It's an experience you can't change. I hoped for fun, and I knew there was bound to be a lot of trouble."
Yeah, I think that's a pretty straightforward answer, and I don't think it's something too far off from what we might expect to get from Meg.
We asked her, what did your good friend, Andrea Belke, tell you before you left? Were you able to implement any of her advice in the game? She said, rule number one, no showmances. Okay. BB scandal excluded. She told me how to lay low and be myself and become friends with everyone the first couple of weeks. Once I felt comfortable with everyone, I should start playing the game. Unfortunately, Andrea did not give Meg instruction number two. Seems like she just got stuck in a loop of instruction number one.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I do wonder, I think that's interesting. We saw Andrea's first season, she got a little caught up with Mr. Matt Elrod, a.k.a. Wyatt Nash. So it's not surprising to see that Andrea's first advice would be to avoid the showmance. Meg certainly did a great job of that. And she did a good job of kind of making some friends early on. But I'm a little surprised to learn that there wasn't more kind of that she took away from Andrea, seeing as her best friend has played Survivor twice.
Dan is long again.
We asked Meg, from the outside looking in, it seemed like Steve was one person whose vote you didn't campaign for much. Did you feel like you could have done more to bring him around? She said, no, I knew Steve's vote was not going to be in my favor. Steve appears to be innocent, but all signs in the house are pointing to him and Vanessa working closely together. Also, talking game with Steve is the biggest challenge in the world. He never offers specifics or names, which means that he's offering those specifics and names to someone else in the house. What do you think of that answer?
That's interesting. That really, to me, speaks very profoundly to why these two players never got on the same page. Meg is very direct and, says what she means and expects, face value from you in return. Steve really wasn't giving that to anyone because he was so scared that his words could be used against him in this game because he's such a fan and he knows how the game works. So I think that's a really interesting disconnect in terms of just communication styles and how, I think they could both go back and watch this and both be like, oh, I see. Okay, so there was just a little bit of a disconnect there. It wasn't necessarily just they were completely on opposite pages. That's very interesting to me.
We asked her, we know you had knee surgery prior to coming in, which held you back a bit physically. Did you begin to play up your lack of physicality at a point, a strategy, or were you giving it your all in every competition?
I felt like this was probably the kind of question that she could, you know, find a way to, you know, kind of save a little face here. But Meg's not the type to save face. She's pretty honest. So I feel like she was probably trying and she'd probably tell you as much.
Honestly, I wanted to do my best to never have to come in and play that part of my game. I knew coming in my surgery would be a challenge, but I'm the strong girl that really did my best out there.
Yeah.
You know Meg so well.
Well, you know, I mean, Meg is, I think she's a great character because in a lot of degrees, what you see is what you get. You know, there are some players in Big Brother who can be very confounding to watch because you're just like, oh, I wish they would make up their mind and I don't even know what they're thinking. With Meg, you can really kind of follow her line of logic pretty easily. And, you know, James has talked about the simple strategy versus the complex strategy. It's not necessarily a bad strategy. It's more of a straightforward strategy.
So we asked Meg, who still in the house do you feel like is playing the best game and the worst? She said, I hate to say it because he hasn't been on the block once. I guess I'm just jealous, but Austin is playing the best game in the house. Julia and Liz obviously had to overcome the twin twist, but I would really like to see them step up their game instead of not riding the wave of Austin's game. Wow.
Interesting. So that speaks to who, at least from Meg's standpoint, who is seen as the front runner of the three-headed monster.
This seems so obvious right now.
Yeah. If you survive the vote tonight, Meg, what was your plan to navigate yourself to the end of the game? She said, if I survived the vote, I knew I would have had an uphill battle. It really seemed like the entire house, except for Johnny Mac and James, were working together. I find it a bit coincidental that these are the same people that were the outsiders of the big game moves in the beginning of the game. I have a gut feeling that there were alliances made among these people, and that's why most of my team has been taken out. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw the alliance that formed week two to follow the big eight that was formed week one that included Meg and all her friends. So, yeah, it was Vanessa and Austin on the outside of that original eight that put together a six and proceeded to run roughshod for most every week since, with a couple exceptions.
Have we not given them enough credit?
Who?
Are you saying that I am not giving them enough credit?
No, I'm wondering who are we potentially not giving enough credit to?
Are we not giving enough credit to Austin and those six that were not in the original eight?
You know, I think we've credited Vanessa with that being one of her, you know, I know Terrence talked about it and I've mentioned it too. That being one of Vanessa's biggest moves is consolidating that six. You know, there was a chance that with Jace out the door, you know, Austin didn't have much left in his corner. Vanessa didn't seem to have many allies. She was really kind of seemingly waiting until after her fast forward expired to really get involved in the game. But yeah, I mean, her spearheading that situation, really forming it, bringing in Clay and Shelley, that was huge. And no, I think we've given Vanessa her due there. I think she was the one who really brought it together.
And finally, had you made it to the end, Meg, what would have been your argument for why Meg should win the $500,000? She said, my social game, one of the biggest reasons that I was a threat to people was because I was so likable in the house. Being that I'm not a big comp beast, I had to rely on what I knew were my strengths. I had a lot of friends taken out in the game, and every time that happened, I had to rearrange my whole strategy and adapt to the new situation, and not to mention I had to fight my way off the block a couple times.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that, you know, was a big weakness of Meg that I know she acknowledged was just that she was too loyal to her friends, and it was too obvious who she was working with. And I think it would be, you know, because she was very, very socially capable, and she seems like a great girl to have fun, you know, go out and just have a drink with. She seems like a lot of fun. So yeah, I would be interested to see if Meg could have played this game, you know, making allies that weren't necessarily the people she was hanging out with all the time, where that could have maybe taken her.
All right. Ready for the questions from James?
Let's do it.
All right. We asked James, what was going through your head when you had the altercation with Clay? Were you worried that he was actually going to get physical since he knew he was being evicted that day anyway? And he said, you never know what's going through a person's head during a heated altercation, but I was a little worried that things could get physical. But with corrections training and being in those types of situations, I knew I was going to keep my cool where it wouldn't get physical. Look at James.
Yeah, no, I've mentioned the corrections training a couple times, and I think it really is a skill of James's that he, you know, he probably does have this background that, you know, prepared him about as well for the Big Brother house as most that I could think of off the top of my head.
We asked James, do you feel like there's more you could or should have done this week to ensure yours or Meg's safety? If you could replay that, what, if anything, would you do differently? James said, my whole team that I aligned with since week one was picked off week by week, and I tried to protect Meg as much as I could. I always had her back and never thought about putting her on the block or using the back door. I felt that carrying Meg kind of hurt my game. She's a great person, ally, and friend, but I never got protection from her on a game level that I might have needed this week or the week that I got thrown up during Vanessa's HOH. The only regret I might have is that I should have aligned myself with a few more stronger people. Right?
Yeah. I think, and a lot of, James fans, if they were to write an epitaph on James's Big Brother tombstone, it would be aligned with someone stronger than Meg. Because, Meg, definitely a loyal number, but, unfortunately, her inability to win competitions left James feeling like he was alone even when he wasn't for a lot of this game.
Yeah, he really followed her right off the cliff.
Yeah, I mean, in a matter of minutes. So, very, very literally.
And it's like, Meg is nice, but, is she worth throwing your game away for, James? And if you are, for a guy in the friendship zone, as Julie Chen said, it's one thing if you're dating Meg,
Yeah, absolutely. Just
to be friends with Meg. Throw your game away for platonic friendship with Meg, which is fun, but come on. Come on, James.
Yeah, no, it's a tough spot. It was frustrating. In fact, Meg came out of the diary room at one point yesterday and said, they're being really mean to me. I feel like they're trying to tell, she felt like the questions were directing her in a way that she's not campaigning. And then she proceeded to talk with James in the have not room about clothes for an hour. So it's just come on, guys. It's frustrating. What can you do?
We asked James, it seemed like you were never quite able to get on the same page as Steve and John to break up the Aus twins, as you talked about a few times. What do you think kept you guys from finally coming together? He says, Steve is a very socially awkward person, and I never could tell if it was game or if he was trying to be another Ian Terry or if that was him in real life. So ultimately, I could never trust Steve, which hurt me in the game because Vanessa, Austin, Liz, and Julia picked him up at the last minute. What's the last minute?
Like day 11 or 12. That's one James is going to watch the film on and maybe have some second thoughts there, because that was not a last minute pickup. It is a little bit Ian Terry-ish, where it's like when Frank was able to find out there was an alliance made, not with four people, with five people. F and Ian, it was like the odd man out that you just didn't see, the snake in the grass.
I'll tell you what, I really don't like how Meg and James are both in their interviews like, hey, Steve was weird. Like, we couldn't work with him. He was too weird. He's too awkward.
Right. This is something Eric Stein talked about when me and you were talking to him that I remember, because it was such a valid point. He said that everyone, discounted Zach specifically in their season, and how if there's someone who's socially awkward, people will tend to discount them just because that's a natural... Right. Kind of human reaction. But in a game like this, that's the worst thing you could do, is discount anybody. And that if someone is being discounted by others, then that's even more of a reason to gravitate to them and pull them in.
You think Matthew von Ertfelde wasn't awkward?
Well, I love that. That's a great thing about your game, Rob, that you can in 1 minute make jokes about how he might kill you in your sleep. And then in the next moment, tell the guy that you're going with him all the way to the end. That really speaks to the ability to... to meet people on their level, no matter where
it's
they are.
It's just about finding common ground with people. I think that you can relate to anybody. You just have to figure out how to get on their frequency, and you can't expect them to get to yours. Oh, he's weird. I can't work with him.
Especially when you're the one on the block.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree.
Who in the house do you feel like is playing the best game, James, and who is the worst? And guess what James said?
Well, him and Meg have been spending an awful lot of time together, Rob, so I would imagine his answer might be somewhat similar.
He says, ultimately... I feel like Austin is playing the best game. And get this, he has never been on the block close to pulling another Derek.
Wow. That is a direct quote. Are we sure about that?
He said, now maybe he's just saying that Derek never went on the block, and he's not implying that Austin has been the mastermind of the entire season, a la Derek. This is the exact quote. He says, he has never been on the block close to pulling another Derek. And the worst game, I think, would be Steve. He is just there.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I think we are. You know, it's very interesting. We're starting to see a little bit of a dynamic where maybe the fans and the jury are on different wavelengths here in terms of who's playing the best game and who deserves to win. This has been such a tumultuous up and down season, and there's been so many different approaches taken to the game that I really am excited to see kind of where we go. I think there's a lot of just a lot of variables still left to be played out.
In fairness, though, do you remember that time when Derek was in the showmance for the whole summer and really was much more concerned with his girlfriend than the game?
Oh, yeah. Don't you, Rob?
Yes, that was my favorite part of Big Brother 16, when Derek got in the showmance. Then finally, we asked James, had you made it to the end, what would your argument be as to why James should win the $500,000 grand prize? He said, my argument would be that during the whole Big Brother process, the game can be brutal and ugly, but I feel like I would have played this game with integrity and to the best that I could without being a villain. I made big game moves. I fought my way off the block. I won POVs, HOHs, and Battle of the Block.
He did indeed do all that.
Except for that time when he got evicted.
I was going to say, there's one person who might disagree with the villain side of it, and that might be Shelly, but... You know, everyone's a hero to somebody, Rob.
Everybody is the hero of their own narrative. It's a quote from the great Stephen Fishback.
Great.
All right, so we're going to switch gears a little bit and start to get into talking about the stuff from the spoilers. So that's going to be coming up here in a moment. We're also going to be back live on Sunday night, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, 6:15 p.m. Pacific. No weekend off for us here at Rob Has a Podcast with skipping a week for Labor Day weekend. Oh, no. Well, we will be live with Spencer Clawson this Sunday night. Before we get into talking about the live feed, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast and those are friends over at TrueCar because, you know, Alex, we spend so much time online watching Big Brother live feeds and seeing everything that the Big Brother house guests are saying on Twitter, including I was reading an article about Julie Chen talking about how Steve really blew it in the live eviction. And so we got all these great things on the internet. That's why the internet is fantastic because it allows us to do things like shop for a car also without leaving the house.
Yeah, just like in Big Brother 2, you can win a car right from the house, essentially.
You could basically be like Meg and not even get out of bed, and then you go ahead and shop for a car, because with a True Car, you can see exactly the cars that are available. You pick out exactly the car, the make and the model that you want with all the features, and you can find out just exactly how much that car is going to cost. And you never have to worry about trying to deal with a person who's awkward, like Megan James said about Steve, when you go to a dealership, because you can shop for that car right from your own home. And you can save on average over $3,000 off MSRP without any hassle or headache. It's how car buying was meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. And there's over 10,000 dealers in the True Car Certified Dealer Network, which you can work with directly with a True Car Certified Dealer contact. So visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car mobile app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. And we are not going to overpay for our live feed coverage, which is here right now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Boy, Alex, this has been quite a roller coaster ride for us.
That's right. Yeah, here we are, Rob. We're in the 80s of days.
Yes, because...
How you holding up?
I'm holding up. Again, it's been a wild 24 hours. So here we are around 11 o'clock Big Brother time. I'm watching bleary-eyed the finale of Survivor Worlds Apart to get ready for recording Evolution of Strategy today. And I see it comes across my Twitter after my ranting ways last night that Steve is the new head of household.
Steve, Rob.
Yeah.
Steve with the bullet. Yeah. Yes,
no,
he is.
I feel bad. I feel bad last night because, I stand by, you know, 99% of what I said last night. But sure. I feel bad. I feel bad that I said that Steve and Johnny Mac are losers. And I said, I believe I couched it a bit. But what I really meant to say was that I feel like I did not see a fire from them and a sense of urgency of, hey, these three people are going to win the game. I'm very happy to see Steve as the HOH. But when I see Steve throwing up in the sink on the morning of the big vote and then ultimately deciding not to do it, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence in Steve.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, you know, to me, it really is. It's a situation of it's almost like a poker game where it's like you're getting low in chips. You're going to have to go all in at some point, and you really just have to pick your spot. And Steven Johnny Mac decided that last night, even before they knew it was a double eviction, that last night wasn't their spot, that they felt safer about kind of going into the round of seven, or actually it turned out to be six, and then really trying to make a move at that point. And as it turns out, it seems like it's worked. So, you know, a lot of people are going to say that, you know, it only looks good in hindsight, but you know, this just speaks to the kind of player that Steve is. He's a risk-averse kind of player. He has been since day one. And, you know, A, James and Meg didn't do much to really assuade him into feeling like he would have support if he were to flip the house. And B, he just ultimately decided that he wanted to kind of push his chips in later and take the chance at a different spot, really just kind of, you know, looking at numbers, playing the odds, and this is the route he chose to take. So I understand a lot of people are frustrated with the decision Steve chose to make, but it was Steve's choice. You know, at some level, we have to respect that different people are going to play the game differently, and that's part of what makes it fun.
And I know how fast that these things can turn around, because I remember I was sitting there on like July 28th, and I'm watching this Mets game, and I see, oh, the Mets have just traded for Carlos Gomez for Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores. And then Wilmer Flores is crying on the field, and then the trade falls through, and then the next day the Mets blow a huge game, and it's a complete disaster, and the season is over. And then a day later, they end up making this trade for Cespedes, and then the Mets go on to win like a 19 out of 27 in August, and then all of a sudden, now we're talking about the Mets and going to the playoffs, and it turned around like that. And I know how fast things can turn around, but I can tell you, I was just as upset, if not more upset about the Mets, that those days following the Carlos, and I believe I actually recorded a podcast around that time. So, look, I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think that's part of what, you know, emotional people make good entertainment, Rob. You know, Vanessa is all over the place on the feeds, and that's why she's fun to watch. Me and you are crazy, and, you know, maybe that's why people care to listen to us from time to time.
There's going to be high highs and low lows as we go through the long season of baseball and Big Brother.
That's right. You kind of just have to, you know, strap yourself in and feel the G's to a degree.
All right. So what is the plan here for Steve as HOH?
Well, okay. So late last night, Steve talks to the cameras and says, "Twins, you are idiots for keeping John. You just made the biggest mistake in the game, and I'm putting your asses off."
All right, so it's going to be Liz and Julia on the block?
It's actually going to be Liz and Austin, but the principle is the same.
Okay, so Liz and Austin up on the block. Now, is Vanessa fully on board with the Steve HOH, or is she hedging as well?
She's fully on board, and I think we've never seen Vanessa and Steve more on the same page. They're having conversations about how they're going to go create dissonance between Austin and the twins, between Julia and Austin, between Austin and Liz. So Vanessa and Steve, and even to a degree with Johnny Mac in there as well, those are the three now that are more on the same page than anyone else. And you've now got Austin and the twins reacting to the information they're getting from those sides.
So if everything goes according to plan, they stick with these nominations?
They do, yeah. And Vanessa is wanting to, I'm sure, send Liz home, because she sees it as an opportunity for her to take that Liz spot. Although Johnny Mac is finally showing some of the astuteness that a lot of people have been waiting for this season, and has really convinced Steve that it's better for the two of them to get rid of Austin to keep Vanessa from being able to do exactly what she's planning on doing.
Now, why would that prevent Vanessa to do it? It seems like that she would be able to go into a three-person alliance with the women easier than just Austin and one of the twins, right?
The idea is that with Austin, if Liz is gone, Julia would be closer to Vanessa than Austin, and Austin would be closer to Vanessa than Julia. Whereas if either Julia or Austin goes, there's still a twosome that's tighter, where Vanessa is still a third. So that keeps Vanessa from being able to really fully turn on Steve and Johnny Mac.
But wouldn't Johnny Mac and Steve be just as tight? Don't both of them want to sit in the end with each other, or would they prefer to sit in the end with Vanessa?
As far as I know, I think they are planning on taking each other and turning on Vanessa at three. I think they're really just trying to minimize the odds of a 3-2 situation outright at 5.
Okay. So we'll see exactly how that goes. Now, a couple of wrinkles here. Biggest of all is the veto coming up this weekend. And yeah. So what is the worst case scenario for Steve and or Johnny Mac?
Right, so right now, they can send home who they want because it's going to be 2-1 on the votes with Vanessa and Johnny Mac being the two. If Julia wins the power of veto, she's safe and she can pull off either Austin or Liz, assumingly, of course, Liz. And then Steve would have no choice but to nominate either Vanessa or Johnny Mac. That's the nightmare.
Yep. And then the people that vote, let's say that Vanessa goes up on the block, and then you would hope that Steve would do that. But now it comes down to it's Johnny Mac, whoever won the veto, say Julia and Liz, will then make the decision.
That's right. Yeah. In any situation, if Julia wins the veto and saves Liz, then the twins are deciding the vote.
Be interesting. It's fun stuff. It's fun stuff. Happy to see this Steve HOH. Gives this season some juice where last night we were fearing that maybe it had none left. What was the contest that Steve won?
So it was some kind of puzzle competition, Rob. It sounds like something to the effect of, like a blurry screen or, something pixelated where you're, looking at something and then piecing together a puzzle. At least that's what I was able to put together just from the conversations that were had. It sounds like Johnny Mac did really well in it also because Steve was even talking about, I wonder if I could have thrown that to John. So
how have the twins and Austin been handling all this?
Quite poorly, Rob, as you can imagine. Austin hasn't been on the block all summer, and Julia's just been on the block as Liz. Like, she hasn't, or except for this past double eviction, I should say. But, between the three of them, they've really, been playing from ahead all game. So this is, something they should have seen coming, but for whatever reason, it seems like only Austin was really somewhat expecting it. And they're really, really upset. Julia and Liz are really bad-mouthing Steve right now. They're really upset with the fact that apparently Steve had asked Liz to make a promise on her family that he was good so he didn't flip on the double eviction. And the idea that, Steve made me swear on my family is something that Liz is really harping on today. But, it's a situation where they had to pick a person to get rid of. They picked James, and now their decisions are bearing fruit as quickly as the very next day.
All right. So how do you think the week ultimately plays out?
Well, I think it could be very straightforward, assuming someone like Steve, Johnny Mac, or Vanessa wins veto. I think everything stays the same. If Vanessa wins veto, it could get very interesting because Austin and the twins still think she's loyal to them. So I expect Vanessa would probably try to throw it because she doesn't want to put herself in that spot where everyone's expecting something from her. It gets really interesting if Julia wins, then Steve is dealing with Vanessa and Johnny Mac both just begging for his love, and he needs to basically lower the guillotine on one of them because whoever he puts up is for sure done. So, yeah, this POV has huge, huge implications.
One final question about all this, because I know that in the way that it's turned out, all's well that ends well so far. But when Steve and Johnny Mac decided to make the move that they made last night, where they decide to keep Julia in the house, and Liz ends up taking out James during her HOH instead of Johnny Mac, was this just how Steve and Johnny Mac drew it up? Or did this just happen to fall into their laps? Like, was this a designed plan from them? Or did they just end up getting scared and then things just worked out?
My perspective, having watched Steve stay up all night, and we talked about how he was feeling sick the night before, but he was also playing with M&Ms. He was crunching numbers. He was really trying to come to the right decision. I really believe that the variables were accounted for, that this was the plan, that this was exactly what they had in mind, and that this is what they were hoping for. This was a competition. It was a puzzle that they were, better suited to win than the twins were. And, going forward, I have to think that the comps are going to be better geared to them as well. So they really did. I really feel like they really kind of accounted for a lot of things and, took a shot and it paid off. And, it's interesting. It really is one of the, in recent Big Brother memory, I can't remember, a decision that really did have so many pros and cons both ways. I think it's like the kind of decision that's really interesting to pay attention to as the game continues to evolve as seasons come.
So tell me the truth. Did I overreact on Thursday night?
No, I like the passion, Rob. I think it's good for, for the podcast, for the show.
Give it to me straight. Did I overreact?
No, I'm being real. Right. I love when people are passionate about the show. I don't care if I agree with your opinion. I love that you are very, very passionate about it. You know what I mean? I was agreeing with Brent in the moment, but at the same time, I appreciate the discourse. So to me, it's great. I love everything about it.
I thought this was interesting. This is from Corey Fastgame on Twitter. He sent me an article that was from ET Canada that they did an interview with Julie Chen. And Julie Chen said about the live show last night, Steve chickened out. That's the bottom line.
Steve Chicken Morris?
Damn. Julie Chen said this, and this is pretty damning. She says that Steve looks to Vanessa as a mother figure, and she's controlling him. Vanessa made the really big mistake by not using this as an opportunity to convince Steve and Johnny Mac to vote out Julia and make them think that it was their idea. And then John was just going to do whatever Steve decided to do. So Steve messed up here. Ridiculous and dumb. That's from Julie Chen.
You know,
whoa, that's wild.
Yeah,
that is wild. Yeah, I'm not used to hearing the Chen bot kind of on such a
on blast.
Yeah, kind of like a high gradient setting there, whatever it is. But I disagree. I mean, you know, she's entitled to her opinion, and obviously it's super qualified, having hosted every season of the show. But to each their own. I mean, everyone plays the game differently. Everyone brings themselves to the game, and Steve brings Steve, a very shy, very awkward, risk averse person who has one shot at this game, and he doesn't want to take it unless he's really, really confident in it. So that was the way he decided to roll. Whether or not it's the way we would roll, you know, that's up for interpretation, but I think it's interesting that, you know, Big Brother is such a great game that you can have moments like this where everyone is sure this is the move. It needs to happen. It doesn't happen. Everyone's sure he's screwed. And then maybe he's not.
Julie also said, if Vanessa and Austin don't wake up and smell the espresso and target the twins, it will cost them the game.
Smell the espresso?
Who says that?
Julie. Such a one percenter these days. Boy. Yeah, we can't all wake up and smell the espresso from our homemade
espresso.
Wouldn't
that be nice to wake up and have espresso being made at your house?
Yeah, well, who needs to play Big Brother when you've already got that set up?
Right? Yeah, right? All right. Good stuff. So, again, lots of polarizing opinions on this podcast from Thursday night. I got from people that, Rob, this was your best podcast ever on Thursday night. And people said, I'm never listening to you again. You're an idiot.
That's great. Yeah, no, that's Big Brother in a nutshell, isn't it? At the end of the day, or as I've been saying this, at the end of the day, Vaughn, I mean, no matter where you fall on, you know, the game, as long as you're enjoying it and talking about it, then I'm loving it. You know, bring the conversation. And, you know, as long as everyone's enjoying the process and not kind of getting too involved with the vitriol. It's good stuff.
All right. There you have it. That is going to be our live feed update from Friday. Great job, Alex Kidwell. Follow Alex Kidwell on Twitter. That's his Twitter handle at Alex Kidwell. Keeps it real simple for you. We'll be back on Sunday to talk with Spencer Clawson. For those of you guys who are Survivor fans or listeners of the Evolution Strategy, we just dropped the Blood versus Water Chapter 27 of the Evolution of Strategy. That's available at evolutionofstrategy.com, where, of course, you could listen to our Borneo chapter completely for free. All right, we'll be back on Sunday night. Going to record some Last Comic Standing with Mike Bloom coming up here in just a bit. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.